Today, God's Word comes to us from Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We'll be reading the first 11 verses of this chapter. Acts 1, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." And here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, last week we began a new series of sermons about the book of Acts, and we saw that Acts is really Luke part 2. Luke part 1 is the gospel, the story of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Acts is Luke part 2, all that Jesus continues to do and teach. I suggested that a good title for this book would be The Acts of Jesus by the Spirit in the Church. All of those active together, but it is Jesus who is the primary actor through the power of the Holy Spirit in the context of the Christian Church. Acts is a book about Jesus. And so it's proper that we begin with this story of the Ascension, because the Ascension signals a change in Jesus' ministry. He has been doing an earthly ministry personally with those around him. Now he will do a heavenly ministry through those whom he has chosen. But he will continue to act. He will continue to be the one who's the primary actor in the works by the Spirit in the church. We, in our liturgical tradition, are used to celebrating the Ascension. This time when Jesus went from earth back into heaven. In fact, we regularly hold a service on Ascension Day. For those of you who like to mark your calendars, that is June 2 this year. If you forget that, just count 40 days after Easter. On that Thursday night, we have an Ascension Day service. And since many of us have grown up knowing about the Ascension and the nature of the Ascension, we're going to focus tonight not so much on the theology of the Ascension, but on Jesus' final words just before the Ascension, just before we see this shift in his ministry, his final words to those whom he had called. And in these words, we see words of encouragement, words of comfort, and yet words of challenge for his followers. And those same words that apply to them, we receive as well. Words of encouragement, words of comfort, words of challenge. Jesus is preparing to leave. And he gives instructions to his followers. Verse 4. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. Now, why would he give that instruction, don't leave Jerusalem? Well, Jesus is preparing to leave. And what might be the natural response of his followers? Well, if he's gone, then why don't we go too? Why don't we go back to Galilee? These were Galileans. Go back to our homes. Let's get away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the scene of Jesus' trial. It was the scene of his crucifixion. You can see that they would have negative attachments there. Oh, true, to be sure, it was the scene of his resurrection also. But so much emotion tied up around Jerusalem. Jesus says, but don't leave. Don't go away. Stay here in Jerusalem. That same place that had seen the death of the Son of God would now see the ongoing work of the Son of God. Stay. Stay here. And he says, wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Stay and wait for the promise that is still to come. The gift that I promised you is still waiting for you. Now, when Jesus gave the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit, back in John 14, 15, 16, that was before his crucifixion. And you can imagine as the disciples saw Jesus taken away, saw him tried, and saw him crucified, they would think, well, now is the time. He's been taken away from us. Now is the time for the promise to be fulfilled. And then when Jesus rises from the dead, and he himself is back with the disciples, maybe they would think, well, maybe we had the promise already. Maybe whatever we were supposed to receive, we somehow did receive figuratively by Jesus himself coming back. But Jesus says, no, there's more to come. There's a promise of a comforter, a promise of someone who will be a counselor. Remember what I taught you, and wait for the promise of the Father. The promise which you heard, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It would have been easy for the disciples to think, you know, Jesus was with us, he was taken away, he was killed, and now he's back again. Now he'll never leave. But Jesus is preparing them. No, there would be a time for him to go away, but he would not leave them completely. There would be this promise of the Father, the sending of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus speaks about the sending of the Holy Spirit, he connects his ministry with their ministry. What happened when Jesus was baptized? Jesus, bring their mind back. John baptized with water. John had baptized Jesus. And after Jesus' baptism was the beginning of his public ministry. One of the first acts of Jesus as he prepares to begin the public ministry is he is baptized by John as a preparation for the ministry to come. Now Jesus says to them, yeah, I was baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There is ministry for you to do. Just as my baptism was the inauguration of my public ministry, so now this promise, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is the inauguration of your public ministry. Notice that in Acts, Jesus' closest followers are called apostles. Back at the beginning of this chapter. Till the day when he was taken up after he'd given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. In the gospel, in Luke part 1, these same men are called disciples. Now, children, a disciple is a learner. A disciple is someone who learns. In the gospels, they were the recipients of Jesus' teaching, and they would be the learners of the truth he wanted to tell them. In Acts, in Luke part 2, he doesn't refer to them as disciples, but he calls them apostles. The apostles are not the learners. They are those who are sent out. They are those who become the teachers. And so Jesus says, as my ministry began with a baptism and then ministry took place, so too with you. You will receive this gift, this promise of the Holy Spirit, and no longer consider yourself disciples, learners, but you are now apostles. You are those who are sent. And to be sent, it would take the equipping of the Holy Spirit. Imagine Jesus talking to these rather unlearned men and saying, as you've seen me teach you, now you teach others. And they would say, oh Lord, how can we do that? Because of the promise, because of the gift, because of the coming Holy Spirit, who himself would qualify you to be apostles, to be those who were sent. Jesus gives his followers a word of wonderful promise to encourage them. Yes, there's ministry for you to do, but you don't do it in your own strength. There's the promise, there's the gift from the Father of the coming Holy Spirit. Being told that their ministry would begin, they would be the apostles, not the disciples, they have a couple last questions for Jesus. And Jesus has to correct them in their understanding of the commission he is giving to them. So in verse 6, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? There's a lot of discussion about the apostles here misunderstanding the kingdom of God. They're asking Jesus, will you now restore the kingdom to Israel? And there's some suggestions that they were still thinking in terms of an earthly kingdom, a way of overthrowing the yoke of Rome. And I think that the apostles are misunderstanding something. But I don't think that's what it is, because of the way that Jesus answers them. When they say, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He doesn't say, you misunderstand the kingdom. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, not an earthly kingdom. He doesn't say that. But he answers, first of all, with regard to their question about time. They said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? And he says, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. They misunderstood the timing of the fullness of the coming of the kingdom. That although they would be given this commission to go out and to share what they knew, they would be the apostles, the sent out ones, it would be in God's time that the kingdom would grow and grow and grow. They would go out and do the ministry they were called to do, but it was a reminder to them, God is the one in charge. God is the one in control. It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. They would go out with this commission to do a work, but it was ultimately God's work. And it was ultimately God's timetable by which the work would be accomplished. They misunderstood the time of the kingdom. They misunderstood the worker of the kingdom. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? And how does Jesus answer that? They were looking for him to continue to do his work. How does Jesus answer that? But you will receive, he says to them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. They still wanted to be the disciples, the learners. Lord, are you now going to continue your work? And Jesus says, the work's going to go on, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're going to be the ones. You're going to be the ones to be my witnesses, to tell the truth about me. And now that that promise of the Holy Spirit becomes even more comforting and more encouraging. How do we begin? How do we begin to witness to Jesus what He has done, what He has said? You will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. They misunderstood who was going to be responsible for the ongoing work of this kingdom. God's work ultimately, but not using Jesus anymore. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? No, Jesus says, you are the ones. You will receive power. But don't worry. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And they misunderstood not only the time and the person of the ministry, but they misunderstood the expanse of the kingdom. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still thinking in a very narrow and focused way, that the Israelites were still the only chosen people of God. How does Jesus answer that? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. So there was a place for work in Jerusalem. In Judea and Samaria, well, that still made sense to them. That was still within the borders of Israel. And to the ends of the earth. Imagine that. 11 men given this commission. You will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. It would be as if God came to us and said, I have a job for you to do. You will be my witnesses in Sioux Center, in Northwest Iowa, in the entire continental United States, and around the world. They had to get that vision that the work of God through Christ, by the power of the Spirit, was no longer localized to one geographic area. But God's work would go out around the entire globe, and they were the ones to do it. Again, how they must have embraced that promise that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Where would we begin to start? To bring this glorious message, to be witnesses, not only locally, but around the country and around the world. Jesus gave this glorious challenge, encouragement, and commission to the beginnings of the New Testament church. And we, as the inheritors of that church, are continued to be given this work to do. We recognize that God is still in control, that Jesus is reigning over the kingdom from heaven, that He gives the power of His Spirit, and that it is God's timetable when and where His people will be converted. And yet we are responsible. We are responsible to do what we can to invite others to come into the place where the witness takes place, to come into the place where the gospel is preached. It is up for us to go out and to welcome our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers. Now, the results of that are God's timing. Sometimes we talk with someone again and again and again, and they just never seem ready to come to church with us. Don't be discouraged by that. It is not for us to know the times or the seasons the Father has fixed by His own authority. But it is for us to be obedient. It is for us to be witnesses to the truth that we know. The apostles were promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. He will come not many days from now. We, on the other side of Pentecost, have received the blessing of the Holy Spirit. We have the assurance that the Spirit does dwell within the church and within God's people. We are those who are now commissioned and qualified to go and share the truth, witness to the faith that we know. But it's so much easier for us to say, but I'd rather just be the disciple. Can't I still be the learner? For many of us, We've been the learner since we were children in our parents' arms coming to church. It's time to stop being just the learner. It's time to be the sent one, the teacher, the one who goes out. Can we think we do it in our own strength? Absolutely not. But the Spirit has been given to the church. And that glorious work continues. You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. You, in Sioux Center, URC, will be my witnesses to share this glorious message of the kingdom. We have to expand our view of our role in the kingdom of God, no longer being just the disciple, but also being the apostle, the sent out one, the one to share the truth with others. As they get this glorious challenge, Jesus gives some final encouragement to them. He says, "You will receive power, you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. It's as if the words barely come out of his mouth. He gives them this glorious picture, and then he's gone. And I think if I'd have been a disciple and an apostle, I would have said, "Oh, I wish I would have paid more attention. I wish I would have been a better learner of the truth." Because Jesus now ascends back into heaven. We read that as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. When we read that a cloud took him out of their sight, this was not just a passing cumulonimbus cloud that happened to envelop Jesus, but the cloud spoken of. The cloud spoken of is a picture, is a symbol of the glory of God. So many times in Scripture that cloud of glory is a picture of God's presence. We think of God's glory on Mount Sinai, the cloud above, the thunder and the lightnings, a picture of God's presence. We think of the cloud descending upon the tabernacle as a picture of God's presence. We think of the Transfiguration Mountain as a picture of God's presence in the cloud. And once again here, Jesus received by the cloud, a picture of God's presence, that Jesus is returning to his Father. He had said, "The Father will send the promise to you." And they would be assured, the Father knows he's back now. The Father knows we're ready for that promise. Jesus didn't just disappear out of their sight, but he is lifted up and received again by the Father. A reminder that God would know what was going on earth. He knew the Son was back in heaven again. He knew the promise had to be given now. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Even the way in which Jesus leaves is an encouragement to them. The Father will not leave you without a comforter. And as they see Jesus go up, as they see him received by the glory cloud of heaven, they stand there looking, watching, waiting. And while they stand there looking into heaven, two men in white robes come by and say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven?" They had just seen Jesus go up. They had just seen him received by the glory of God, and they stand there waiting and looking. And these men in white robes come by, these angels come by, and they say, "Why are you still looking? Have you forgotten already what Jesus said just a couple minutes ago? You are to be witnesses. You are to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the world. Stop looking! Start going!" Jesus gives this final word. Don't stand looking into heaven waiting for something more. It's time to stop watching and to start working. To begin with this task that has been given to them. Because, they say, this same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go. He will come back again. There will be a time where he returns on the glory clouds of heaven to judge his people. There is a final day coming. If that is an encouragement for them to get out and do their job, I don't know what is. You've got to get to the ends of the earth. And he's coming back. Now it's time to stop watching and start working. The same encouragement is given to us today. We see in the Word of God, Jesus taken up and received by the glory cloud of heaven. And it's time for us to stop watching and start working. It's time to stop thinking about inviting a friend to church and start doing it. It's time to stop being just the learner and time to be the apostle, the sent one. And yet so often we want to just stand there looking and waiting and doing nothing. God encourages us. You have received the Holy Spirit. You have received the promise of the Father. Now stop looking and start doing. Jesus' last words to his followers, words of encouragement, words of challenge, words of comfort, words given to us as well. To encourage us, you have received the promise of the Father. To challenge us, the ministry belongs to us to go out and bear witness what we know. And to encourage us, the Holy Spirit dwells with his people, and Jesus will come back. Now, do the work I've called you to do. May we receive Jesus' words and apply them to our hearts and lives. Let us join together in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the way in which you deal with your people, the way in which you instruct and encourage us. We thank you for times of instruction, that we can be disciples, those who learn from you through your word. But may we never stop there, O God, simply as the learner. May you use us to go on and share the truth that we know, sent by you in the power of your Holy Spirit. Those who have learned the lessons and now want to share them with the world around us. For we know, O God, that you are at work. The kingdom belongs to you. Jesus Christ sits as king over that kingdom. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you use us to bear witness to the truth. Well, Lord God, open our mouths. Use our words to share the glories of Jesus Christ and what he is doing in his church for the coming of his kingdom. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.